If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to the book of Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Acts is the fifth book of the New Testament, and my friend Samuel Jennings is going to read from chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. If you don't have a Bible, you can use one that's in the room provided on the back of our entrances. If you left yours at home, I want to encourage you to use one so that you can follow along as Samuel reads, so you can look above and below or refer to things as we continue this morning. And I want you to know that we are a church deeply rooted in liturgy and a liturgical calendar. It's one way we remember and rehearse salvation history, the story of God, the story that he is writing and has written us into. Today is Ascension Sunday. Three days ago was the day we recognize as when Christ, when he ascended into heaven, and that is 40 days, not counting Sundays after Easter, just like there are 40 days, not counting Sunday prior to Easter, where we journey through the season of Lent. Easter is the linchpin of our faith, and it's the linchpin of these 40 days. They pivot around this season where we remember Christ's passion and death, and this season that we celebrate his resurrection, which climaxed on his ascension. We're going to talk about why that's important, and Samuel is going to read the scripture, Acts 1, 6 through 11. If you have your Bibles, let's follow along.
Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time to go going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, then when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the God for the people of God. Thanks.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, so thankful for your presence, thankful for your goodness. God, we're grateful, so grateful for your nearness. And as we continue in this time that we have together, would you bless us with your presence? Give us a heart of flesh and the mind of Christ and a fire deep within our bones that propels us, Lord, into the world that we might be your witnesses. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Pray that with me. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, two things I want to say before we get into this message. First, next Sunday morning, John Wayne McMahon will be here preaching. He is my predecessor, preached from this space for 2 years prior to my stepping into this role. One of my dearest friends in the ministry, one of my favorite preachers. So I hope you're here to hear him. Invite someone. That's the theme of the year. Invite someone to come and worship with us next Sunday. Then 2 weeks from now, we're beginning a new series on what it means to be rooted. We've spent some time talking about our identity and this trellis of rooted, restful, relational. We'll spend a few weeks digging into what it means to be rooted, and we'll start with the Word. We are rooted in the Word. We are a people of one book, and so I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you, I want to invite you to bring your Bible with you to worship. The one that you use most often, the one that you are most familiar with, so that we can become even more accustomed to it, more familiar with it. For lack of a better word, that series and that particular sermon may feel more like a lab and more like teaching or practice as we learn what this book is, how it's made up, how to use it. And so I want to invite you, and I will remind you, we will remind you, if you text the word core to the number 90382, you can do that now. We'll remind you in 2 weeks' time. Don't forget to bring your Bibles to church tomorrow. So say all that to jump into the rest of our time together. When I was in high school growing up, we did not have A or B days, red or white days. It was a traditional bell schedule. There were 6 class periods. There were, at my high school, 4 lunches during fourth period, A, B, C, and D lunch. Everybody in our school had, at fourth period, a study hall, a lunch, and a class, various combinations of that. And for freshmen who played football, we were segregated from junior varsity and varsity. They had athletics 6th period. We had athletics during 4th period, which mean that coach had us for 90 minutes, class and study hall, out on the football field. And then we had to hurry through showers and rush through lunch to get to 5th period all wet head, hot and sweaty, only to come back after school to put the pads back on, football practice. And that continued even into the off season, where we would either be in the weight room or out on the track for 90 minutes and then doing the same routine. I'll never forget January 28, 1986. It was a Tuesday. The day before was Monday. Good job. And on that day, we were talking about during fourth period how on Sunday, the Chicago Bears had shuffled themselves all over the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. And we were also talking about our quarterback, Kenny Ortiz, who was suspended earlier that morning for fighting on that Tuesday, out on the track, in between running the straightaways, walking the curves. Did you hear about Kenny? I wonder what happened. But the real news of that day, the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded January 28, 1986. And we found out about that a little bit later. It actually happened around the same time Kenny Ortiz exploded. And even though I was not present at the launch in Cape Canaveral, Florida, I joined along with my classmates, along with the nation, even the rest of the world, as we were glued to the TV. And we watched the events of that day, how they unfolded again and again. We gazed at the heavens. And in my mind, I remember this, maybe you do too, crystal clear blue sky. The weather that morning was cool and crisp. I mean, it was beautiful. And there was a white cloud that hid this explosion, created by the explosion, that hid the debris of that space shuttle blowing up. January 28, Kenny Ortiz, Tuesday, space shuttle. Isn't it funny, the things that we remember? I wonder if we had been there when Jesus ascended, how we might remember that, how it might have affected us. But there are things that we experience that shape our life, change the way we view or see things forever. Because of the space shuttle explosion, NASA took a 3-year hiatus. They implemented change and improvements, and that didn't affect all of us, but it affected some, especially those who worked in that industry. That disaster itself may have caused us to love our loved ones a little more deeply, because you may remember that that was the first time a civilian went up into outer space. A teacher won the lottery, and she went up without having trained as an astronaut, only the training they gave her. She was a wife and mother of 2, and that just made it all seem a little bit more real. No one is exempt from tragedy whenever it strikes. It's no respecter of persons, even the mighty fall. But there was one who rose again, and before he ascended, he appeared to his followers for a period of 40 days. And then Jesus went up. And over the course of that time, you know, the disciples felt everything from doubt and despair to extreme elation, even confusion, asking questions like, Lord, is it now that you're going to restore things to how they used to be? And you know, when 9/11 happened, it changed the way things are forever. We live, we move, we fly and travel differently. There's no going back. Lord, won't things be like they were before you died? Or what about even farther back? Won't they be like before we experienced Roman occupation? Jesus, won't your kingdom have more reach, greater political impact than did King David's? And Jesus did not answer their question with a question. He just didn't answer it at all, at least not definitively. Time was not his concern, nor was politics. The mission was Jesus' concern. And he spelled it out for them in Acts 1, verse 8. If you have your Bibles open, you can look at that verse. But Jesus spelling it out for them was both missional mandate and promised presence. His missional mandate: you will be my witnesses, both near and far. Promised presence: when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, my Holy Spirit. Let's consider Jesus's missional mandate. You will be my witnesses. A witness is a spectator, but it's not one who's watched from the nosebleed section. One who's been on the sidelines, maybe even in the game, with Jesus running point. And now that Jesus has removed himself from the playing field, so to speak, these people are able to enter in and take over because they know how Jesus thinks. They've been with him and have caught his instincts. They have his passion for the game, but even better, he is playing inside of them. With respect to our witness in this world, we are experts because of our experience. Are you experienced? What has been handed down to us has nothing to do with apostolic succession or orthodox tradition, but succession of witness to Christ. Someone bore witness to someone who bore witness to someone who bore witness. And that leads us to his promised presence, the Holy Spirit, which is not something that we just pick up and use at our disposal. The Spirit is the very proof of our belief. It is the essence of our discipleship. It is the mark of being Christian. Amen. So let me ask you a question, and it's okay to answer. Who do you say is Lord?
Jesus.
Jesus is Lord. And no one can say that but by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:3. Well, I think I'm saved, or I think I've got the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. If you can say that, the Spirit is in you, and there's got to be more. The Spirit enables obedience. It empowers witness. Because of the Spirit, we have the capability, the capacity for ability. The very presence of Christ himself in us. It is the Holy Spirit which created his existence, which Jesus possessed throughout his ministry, and it now possesses us. At least those who realize their need repent and receive this gift of his promise. That power enables us to demonstrate with both words and actions the rule and reign of God. Salvation has come into this world. It comes repeatedly. You have experienced it. Because you've experienced it, you have the privilege, the honor, the responsibility, the power and authority to live this out. You are not saved from something. You're saved for something. And it's better to say you are saved for someone. His name is Jesus. Saved to listen really well, to love even better, to live all of life in Jesus' name. And the way that we live our lives in the world and all that we say, all the places we go, all the things we do, the way we live our lives is very telling. And it's attractive to those who know him not, those who don't know Jesus. They see something inside of those who do know him. This ministry is ours. He's given it to us. And it starts right here at home. in our own backyard as we love thy city. It extends to the farthest reaches of the world. It's no respecter of geography or sociology. It is a mission across all boundaries. It is inclusive of all peoples, and it charts the course for all of history and all of life. And it's more than just saving souls. It is saving society. Because of Christ in you, we are making this world a better place. So how are you engaged in that? How are you participating in that? Right on the heels of Jesus saying these things, he was taken up, lifted high, a cloud hid him from their sight, and I can imagine a crystal clear, cool, crisp, blue sky and morning, the whitest of white clouds enveloping Jesus. There is no flames, no debris, just the most explosive force there ever was. That cloud was very much like the voice that was heard from the heavens when Jesus was baptized. This is my son. It's very much like the rainbow in the sky when God promised Noah, I'll never destroy the world again by flood. Very much like a fire at night, a cloud by day, guiding the people of God as they wander through the wilderness. The disciples are there. They're breaking their necks off as Jesus is ascending higher and higher and finally out of sight. And suddenly two men appear, two being the number four, credible witness bearing. They can vouch for one another. They speak to these onlookers saying, there is work to be done. The mission is at hand. And he who you saw leave this place will return just as you saw him go. So let's get to work. What would it mean for us if we heard those words audibly from Jesus? If we saw that sight as he left this world? What would our lives look like if we had his Holy Spirit living inside of us? Thankful for the witnesses who saw what they saw, handed it down, the experiences they had based on the promised presence of Christ. If we had all of that, we do. We just might be his witnesses in this world. Several years ago, I experienced a season of ministry training with 40 other clergy from around the world. And as we began our time together, we gathered for worship, singing, we opened up God's word, we prayed, Tongsung Kido, Korean style, everyone praying all at once, calling down fire from heaven, our voices rising louder and louder like the sound of a holy roar. And one of our prayer focus that morning was for the persecution that was then going on in Iraq. This is like 11 years ago. And I had a friend named Tony who gave a witness that morning. He had two young kids and was deeply moved. It hit close to home for him. He said he was praying the night before with this bloodshed in mind, and more than that, the innocent and young lives that were being taken, and he was crying his eyes out in bed for the plight of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, but also remembering his own children. And I was moved by that, but I was not moved like that. And so that night in bed, I prayed, Lord, give me the same passion that Tony has, the same heart for our brothers and sisters in Christ in Iraq. And then it's like I heard God speak audibly saying, Mark, it's not about you. You're not praying for my people. You're praying for yourself to be like someone else. Why are you looking in the clouds? Stop praying to be like Tony. Start praying for my witnesses and start praying to be a witness yourself. And something shifted in me, and I started praying for my brothers and sisters in Iraq. And a few minutes later, my friend Tony texted me an invitation to skip breakfast, fast, and pray for Iraq, and we did. And as we prayed that next morning, it was a Tuesday morning, we prayed for the blood of those martyrs to be like seeds in the ground that would produce fruit, that would affect the world, talking awakening and revival, whose ripples would be felt here, but more so here. We prayed for those witnesses in Iraq, and that prayer is not just past tense, because there are still martyrs. There is still persecution in the world today. Just days ago, on May 23rd, there were Christians in Nigeria brutally attacked by an organized Islamic militia. 42 Christians lost their lives, many of them women and children, young people. Houses burned, families displaced, and among the dead were members of our denomination, the Global Methodist Church. We are not distant observers. Sometimes it hits just a little too close to home. And the reality is, if one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. So the question that confronted me back then confronts us now. Are we praying to feel something? Or are we praying for someone? We prayed for those witnesses in Iraq. We pray for those witnesses in Nigeria. Lord, may their blood be seed in the soil that produce fruit, revival, awakening, impact felt even here. Here's the deal. Some people say that the word witness means martyr, and that is true in the original language. It does, but its deeper meaning, its primary meaning is this: an authority based on experience. An authority that we have based on experience. Talking firsthand testimony. Those suffering persecution, even loss of life, they're not witnesses because they die. They die because they are witnesses of Christ, and they have already died to self. An invitation that Jesus makes, inviting us to deny self, take up our great cross, and die as we follow him. He also said, "No one takes my life from me. No one. I lay it down on my own accord, have the power to take it up again." Author, pastor Walter Wangerin put it like this in a prayer that he wrote: "Take my life, I consecrate it to you. Take all that I have and all that I am. Replace the self in me with thine own holy self, so that when the wicked world would come and kill me, it finds me already drowned in you." Untouchable. Death in the world is death indeed, but death in you is life forever. Death in Christ, life forever. Friends, the Holy Spirit is not a tool, something we use. It's not a symbol or an idea. It is the very presence of Christ, the promised presence, alive in you and me. And if he is in you, then so is the power, so is the calling and the courage to live as his witness. Your job, your neighborhood, your Tuesday morning, that's your mission field. The place that we go day in and day out. We don't need to pray to be like someone else. God has gifted you uniquely and uniquely positioned you. We don't need to wait for a sign. We just need to receive everything he's got for us. So let's stop looking at the clouds. Let's start living in the Spirit all of life. Jesus has ascended. The Spirit he promised has come, and we just might be his witnesses. So Lord, I pray that you would do something in this room and in each person that only you can do. That you would wake us up, that we might live life to the full. God, we realize our need. We repent and we receive everything. everything you have for us. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.